All right, as we begin this morning, I know we have some other things to talk about, but we are going to focus in on that which is much of importance to us, and that is worshiping God and the Word of God. And today, we are starting a brand new series called New in the study, or kind of in the book of Revelation. And so I read this, and I think it holds true that Revelation, the last book of the Bible, it's been said it's the one book of the Bible that people want to hear about the most because they don't understand it. However, at the same time, it's the one book of the Bible pastors don't want to teach because they don't understand it either, all right? So wherever we find ourselves, right, we're gonna dive into it and learn together. And so if you're new with us, I want to let you know that you can follow along today in with the message notes and scripture by typing in lpguest.com into the web browser of your phone. That's lpguest.com, or you can scan that QR code on the back of the chair in front of you. That will allow you to take your own notes, even email them to yourself, and keep them for future reference. But it's also going to show you our big idea for this series. We have a big idea for every series, and for this one, it's this. The Revelation is more about present hope than a future calendar. I'm going to say that again. The Revelation is more about a present hope than a future calendar. And I think that's relevant for us because all of us worry about the future. All of us think about what's going to happen in the end. And lots of people have a lot of interpretations on the book of Revelation and end times. But you may be surprised to find out that the book of Revelation has been given to us, but it was not written to us. It was not written to us to create confusion. It was not given to us to cause division. It was not given to us to promote speculation or give us a timeline. However, it was written to comfort us and to confront us, to give us an unshakable hope, to encourage us, and to even fuel missions. And so with that in mind, if you got your Bible, and I hope you do, I want to encourage you to find Revelation chapter 1 with me. Revelation chapter 1. As you're making your way there, I just kind of want to give us some background and get our bearings for things as we jump in. The book of Revelation is written by the Apostle John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John was one of Jesus' closest followers and best friends. John wrote Revelation while he was exiled on the island of Patmos. It was written to Christians. Specifically, it was written to Christians in seven literal churches during this first century. And the Christians at this time were under extreme persecution and oppression by the Roman Empire. And we're going to unpack some of those details as we move through things, but this is kind of a good footing and starting point for us as we begin today. With that in mind, Revelation opens up in verse 1 by saying this: the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So verse 1 gives us a few important things that we need to grasp and understand before we move forward with anything else. What it gives us initially here is the word apocalypse, right? The ancient Greek word translated revelation is the word apocalypsis, which we get our English word apocalypse from. And if you're like me, as soon as I hear the word apocalypse, I'm thinking, right, doom and catastrophe and fire and brimstone and horrific things and the end of the world. And I think we get that in our brains because of American culture, because of our movies and our entertainment that we've had. However, the word apocalypse simply means this. The word apocalypse means a revealing. It means an unveiling of truth. It means an uncovering, right? So that's what the word apocalypse means. And when we get the correct definition of what revelation means and what the word apocalypse means, here's what we see. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the sense that it belongs to him, that Jesus is the one doing the revealing. And the book of Revelation is also Jesus' revelation in the sense that he is being the one revealed to us, right? That's important for us to understand. Jesus is doing the revealing, and at the same time, Jesus is the one being revealed to us through the book of Revelation. Verse 1 also says to us to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. So, we've got our definition in mind, right, of Revelation. It means it's a revealing of something that's happening or going to happen soon. And then verse 1 wraps up saying, made it known. Now there's several layers to the words made it known, right? The words made it known in the original Greek means signified, right? The Revelation is a book, as we're going to see, that communicates signs and pictures and symbolic images, right? And so we learn here that the angel signified or made it known to John. He made the message known to John, and in turn, John does his best to make it known and signify things to us. He takes the signs and the visions that he sees, and to the best of his ability, he tries to record history unfolding before him as he saw it. And to the best of his ability, he tries to describe things in his language and in his manner. So what we get right out of the gate from verse 1 is the book of Revelation is this. It's an unveiling of truth, of something that's happening or about to happen, and this book is written to make known what it means. That's what we get right away from verse 1. Verse 3 goes on to say this, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Now, we're going to see there's some difficult things in the book of Revelation. But notice, if we could put, can we put that verse back up there really quick, verse 3? Great. Notice what John says here. He does not say that we have to understand everything. He does say that there is a blessing for those who read it, for those who hear it, and for those who keep it, right? Even when we don't understand it. Get that really quick from Revelation 3 here. So John makes clear that, hey, any believer can profit from hearing and reading the book of Revelation. So what we get here, and we put this in your notes, the book of Revelation has a promise of blessing, not a promise of confusion. It's got a promise of blessing, not confusion. And we're going to repeat this a lot during this series, right? The book of Revelation is not for you and I to fill out a bunch of charts and a bunch of timelines. John tells us right here, most importantly, it gives us some things that we have to keep, which means, and this kind of messes with how most of us think about this book of Revelation, if there's some things for us to keep from it, then the information that he shares with us should change how you and I live right now. How does it change the way you and I live right now? Well, in verse 3, John tells us that this is a book of prophecy. Much like Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Zechariah, all of which are alluded to in Revelation. But here's what's important for us to grasp. In some sense, Revelation is a climax of all prophecy because unlike the Old Testament prophets, and again, this is in your notes here, the book of Revelation is not ultimately about a coming kingdom. Right? The book of Revelation is about a king who has already come and who reigns right now. I'll say that again. The book of Revelation is not ultimately about a coming kingdom. The book of Revelation is about a king who has already come and reigns in the here and now. See, Daniel in the Old Testament, in Daniel 2 and in chapter or verse 44, he reveals that God would one day set up a kingdom that will never end and never be destroyed. John the Baptist in the Gospels announces that the kingdom of God is at hand. And here, John, in the opening verses of Revelation, proclaims that the time is near. The book of Revelation is going to show us that the king who was prophesied about in the Old Testament has come, is ruling, is reigning at this very moment. And that's so important for us to grasp. That it's not the announcing of God's kingdom coming, rather it's a message that the kingdom of God has already come and will soon be consummated. And it's because of those truths that the book of Revelation impacts your life and my life right here and right now. Verse 4, John says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. And we mentioned this earlier. Revelation was written to Christians, and it was written to seven literal churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And so we got to keep our bearings straight as we go through Scripture, right? This revelation, what we've got so far, is that it comes from God, it comes in Christ, it comes through an angel to his servant John for the church, to the seven churches that are in Asia, as John puts here. Now, here's why this is so important for you and I as we move through this book. Many people try to interpret and make sense of Revelation's images and signs and pictures and visions, attempting to look into the future by decoding things based on modern day politics and then forecasting how history's going to unfold, right? Here's why that's dangerous for us. It ignores the fact that Revelation was written to make sense to its original audience that John wrote it to. Right? I'm going to say that again. Revelation was written to make sense to the original audience that John wrote it to. And this original audience of Christians and church members were living under Roman oppression, were severely persecuted, had little or no education. They couldn't read. Most of them couldn't read at all. You got to think there was no Bible software, no commentaries, no study Bibles. They would just sit and they would listen. That is the original audience who John is writing to. And the letter of Revelation was written in such a way that these people, the first century Christians and churchgoers, would be able to hear it in a church service, understand what was being said, and most importantly, apply it to their daily lives. Again, it wasn't there for them to fill out a bunch of charts and timelines or map out what's the last 7 years going to look like and predict when end time things would happen. It was there to encourage them in the face of persecution. It was there to confront them in their Christian walk. It was to drive them to missions knowing what the end would be. It was there to point them to a king, Jesus, reigning in their present circumstances. Which means you and I today must be very, very careful not to overcomplicate this book. So our goal when we read not only Revelation, but all of Scripture, is not just to hear what the Bible has to say, but to place ourselves in the shoes of its original audience. That when it comes to studying the Bible, especially Revelation, we always need to look at the text within its historical context. Which means, and we put this in your notes, that all of the Bible is for us, but not all of the Bible is to us. And the text or the Scripture can never mean what it never meant. Two important things to always have in your tool belt as you study Scripture. So it's with this perspective, right, of the first century Christian audience that we got to keep in mind. And so what was life like for them? Well, it was a time when it wasn't easy to be identified with the church. It was dangerous to proclaim that you were a Christ follower. You would be persecuted by Jewish people. You would be persecuted by the Roman Empire. There were, at the time when John wrote Revelation to Christians, right, there were church members that were in prison for their faith. Christians were being hung on crosses for following Jesus. Believers were being thrown before wild beasts to be devoured because of their faith. And Christ followers were being beheaded even. There was daily pressure to bow down and worship the Roman Empire and the Roman and Caesar as king and as Lord. And if you refused to worship him as king and as Lord of all things, right, you could lose your job, you could lose your family, you could even lose your life. That is the original audience that was receiving this letter. And they're receiving it at a time when things weren't getting better and at a time when things seemed to only be getting worse. And they're receiving it from John, who himself was exiled on the island of Patmos for his faith and proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all of that is going on. And notice what John says next. He says in verse 4, he says, grace to you. Peace. Grace and peace in the midst of all that you're facing right now. Those of you that have lost jobs, lost family members, are in jail, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. Don't miss this. John wrote in the midst of all of the terrible circumstances that were happening to bring grace and peace to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, we continue to see through John's words that this book was not there to create confusion or division or speculation. Rather, it was to bring encouragement to those who needed it most, to bring strength for those who were weak and faith might have been waning. It was to bring comfort to those in difficult circumstances by fixing their eyes on Jesus. Notice what John says here in verse 4. He says, from him who is, who was, and who is to come. This is reiterated again in verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We can't hang on this long. Leave that up there for me, guys. But like, notice the order. Notice the order here. It says, who is. That is present tense. And it comes first in this sentence. Who is? Again, the emphasis on Revelation is on Jesus, our King, who is in the present with us. Jesus is with us right now. Who is? And then it says, who was? The one who is with you right now is the one who has always existed forever in the past and who has always been. And then it says, who is to come? He will be the one to rescue us in the future. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This means, and we put it there in your notes, the one who has existed forever in the past and the one who will come to rescue you in the future is the one who is with you right now. Man, can you imagine, again, in the shoes of first century Christians hearing that? They needed to hear in the face of everything that was going on, that Jesus has been in control since the beginning, that Jesus is in control all the way through to the end, that Jesus is in control of everything in between, that he is sovereign and he reigns over everything, and he's with you right now in the midst of all of that. And if that wasn't enough, tucked in the middle between verses 4 and 8, we get a beautiful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says this, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, he's made us a kingdom. He's made us priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. John takes everyone back to the cross in these verses. Again, remember what the original audience was dealing with. He takes them back to the cross. Verses 5 and 6 would have reminded every believer that their security is in God's love, not based on their present circumstances, but it's based on the ultimate demonstration of God's love at the cross. Revelation continues over and over again to reveal and unveil Jesus Christ. It's driving us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So Revelation does not just take us into the future. John here allows us to look back to the past. Because if you think about it, initially the cross looked like defeat. Initially the cross looked like the Romans had won, like the devil had won, like death had won, like sin had won. But Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the grave turned out to be the greatest victory in all of history, revealing that Jesus Christ is the King who had come, that Jesus Christ is the King who had conquered sin and conquered death and conquered the devil. And in doing so, John reminds us here that Jesus loved us and he gave himself for us. He shed his blood for us. He freed us. He has made us a kingdom, and he makes us priests with him. What a picture of the gospel right here at the beginning of Revelation, reminding first century Christians, reminding us what Christ has done for us, his victory. And I get it, okay, that's a lot. We've got some of the kiddos in with us for All In Sunday today. And so what I want to do is just, I want to pause for a moment. I kind of want to collect ourselves, and I want to close and wrap up things for today. Okay, just kind of a quick review. With the book of Revelation, here's what we got. We've got an unveiling or a revealing of truth. Not only is Jesus doing the revealing, but Jesus is the one being revealed. This revelation, again, is from God in Christ through an angel to his servant John for the church. We must take into account, therefore, those hearing revelation were under extreme persecution and oppression from the Roman Empire, as John writes to them. The original audience would have been able to hear what John wrote them, understand it, know what it means, and apply it to their daily lives. Therefore, we must take a look at things from their perspective in historical context and be careful not to overcomplicate this book. We're told that hearing the book of Revelation brings promise of blessing, not a promise of confusion. That the book of Revelation is not ultimately about a coming kingdom, but the book of Revelation is about a king who has already come and reigns presently right now. It was written to give grace and peace, focusing on the one who has existed forever in the past, the one who's going to come to rescue us in the future, and the one who is with us right now. And at the same time, Revelation is this prophetic book that not only points to the future, but it also urges us to look to our past, to the cross, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, his sin-atoning finished work on the cross, and his resurrection victory over sin and death and the enemy. Therefore, the book of Revelation impacts how you and I live right now. I can't express that enough to us today. This is where we're at in these opening verses. And with this laid down, Jesus says to John in verse 11, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And this is where we're going to pick up some things next week. We're going to look at what Jesus had to say to his followers and these churches. And at the same time, we're going to contemplate, what would Jesus say to you and I, his followers and his church today? But as we wrap up things this morning and we begin to walk through the book of Revelation, I want us to see right from the beginning that this is not some big scary book that we have to avoid or think we can't understand or be afraid of. That it's not here to confuse us or divide us. Rather, it's here to encourage us and confront us and bring us to an unshakable hope in the one who holds the future in his hands. It's not there for us to fill out a bunch of timelines and maps or offer up predictions. It's prophetic, yes, but it's applicable to our lives right here and right now. And my hope is this, that maybe like never before, the book of Revelation, you see Jesus revealed to you in a fresh and a new way. That Jesus is not just some coming king to rule and reign someday, but he's here for you right now, ruling and reigning in the present. And as we look around and we look at headlines and we live life today, I think we need that right now to remember that Jesus is ruling and reigning right now, that he's in control. Therefore, I pray that this series and going through Revelation brings us grace and peace, just like it did to those first century believers. Knowing that Jesus is in control. Knowing that he's conquered all. Knowing that he sees our tears and our hurt. He sees your questions and he sees your struggles. He hears your prayers and he knows your worries and he sees your pain. And one day he will return and he will wipe away every tear and all of the hurt and the pain will be gone and the new will come. And with that in mind, may Revelation serve also as a wake-up call to you and I. Because as this book reveals Jesus to us and some of the things that are to come in end times to us, it should confront how we are living right now, knowing the end of things later. That the book of Revelation should push us towards holiness in our lives today, to turn from sin because judgment is coming. to move us beyond a passive spectator to an active participant, because as John says, the time is near. It should move us to prioritize the gospel in our lives, desiring people to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus forevermore. It should prod us forward to turning from things of this world and focusing on the heavenly. And in doing so, may it show us that God is sovereign and over all of history, and that he is above all things. And we're going to see, John's going to give us this glimpse into a heavenly realm, maybe like no other in the scriptures. And we're going to see spiritual conflict between God and Satan in this book, between good and evil. And you know what I really hope as we enter into to those passages of Scripture? I pray that we see that this is not some battle that we don't know the ending to. That it's not some tug of war between equal opposing forces. That it's not some duel that we're unsure of who's going to win in the end. Rather, Revelation reveals to us that victory has already been won. That God wins. That God dominates Satan and the enemy. That God is all-powerful over everything. And he rules over all forces of evil. And he's done that through his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, may we see Jesus clearly in this book as we move through it. Last thing we put in your notes is so important for us. If we catch everything else but miss Jesus in the book, then we miss the book of Revelation. The unveiled truth of Revelation is Jesus, who is the conquering Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords, reigns forever, rules for all, and like John said, loves you. Some of us need to hear that today. Jesus loves you. Let Revelation drive this truth home to you today, that King Jesus loves you right here and right now. That Jesus is affectionate for you. He shed his blood for you. He gave his life for you so that he could liberate you and set you free from sin, so that he could make you a co-heir with him. Can you grasp that? He's not just like, hey, just hang out and do nothing. He's like, no, you are going to be a co-heir with me in ruling over everything, that we get to reign with him. That is amazing. I can't even wrap my head around that. May the book of Revelation, most of all, allow us to see Jesus, the King, who is and who was, who is to come.